I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, Craig Fylek joins me. He's the executive director of the Purpose Genome Institute. Now, this is a really interesting conversation because we talk about this idea, this concept, this methodology called purpose mapping. And Craig, he dives into this. He's got over 20 years of experience in dealing with deep inner work. So he created and developed purpose mapping so he could bring his own life into alignment after walking away from a seven-figure business and what he thought would be his ideal life. So now what Craig does is he guides high achievers around the world to realize their full potential and does that by helping them clarify their purpose, aligning with their flow state, and making a meaningful contribution every single day. So whether you're an executive, entrepreneur, investor, professionals, they all seek Craig's guidance when making life-changing decisions. And this is a really, there's a lot of gold to be mined in this conversation. So let's just get to it. Here's my conversation with Craig Fylek here on the Productivityist Podcast. I'd like to welcome Craig Fylek to the Productivityist Podcast. Craig, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right. So I want to dive into purpose mapping today. That is what we, you know, you're the creator of purpose mapping. And one of the things that I've been looking at when I've been following your work, when we were doing the research for this, is this idea of purpose. And I think that productivity often gets confused because people spend time doing things that they're really not either they're not meant to do, or it's not aligned with ultimately what they should be doing. And I'm wondering if you could kind of share with my audience what purpose mapping does and how that can help people kind of funnel their productivity in the right way, as opposed to just trying to do as many things as possible and maybe not getting the outcomes they want.
Sure. It's a huge question. I think I would bottom line it by saying that McKinsey Global Research did a study on executives and found that executives in flow are 500% more productive than when they're not in flow. And flow is defined as that optimal state of consciousness where we perform at our best and we feel at our best. So when we're talking about productivity, we're talking about really getting into that flow state. I mean, getting stuff done is cool, right? We get a little dopamine hit from just checking something off the checklist. But getting into flow is really what it's all about. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Vihaly Csikszentmihalyi has written about it. Yeah,
that's definitely right. Yeah, and there's things that you personally do. I mean, you know, there's different ways of talking about it, and we have been in this conversation for thousands of years. I mean, the Greeks were talking about eudaimonia, but there's just all of these different markers that are pointing at the same thing. But there are things that you do that put you in flow, and there are things that you do that knock you out of flow. And there's another model I really like, which is, you know, your zone of genius, mm-hmm. right? And then there's your zone of excellence, which is, yeah, you could do it, but it's not really like the highest and best use of your time. And then there's your zone of competence, where it's like, okay, this is the drudge work. And I think a lot of people end up doing a lot of this in their jobs, because I think work is just organized poorly. And so to the degree that you're able to organize your life, I'll say this too. When people get to the end of the purpose mapping process, they say, okay, Craig, great. I know my purpose. How do I make a living with this? And what I tell them is, build your contribution system, the thing that you do that makes the greatest contribution to the world that you receive money for, whatever it is, you know, however you're getting compensated. Build that contribution system around your flow state, around the reason you exist, and everything will start to reorganize in your life. You'll start to say no to things with much more clarity and confidence, because it's not going to put you in flow. It's going to take you out of flow, and then you're going to hate yourself for it, right? And all these compensating behaviors that come up that also take us out of flow. So it's like virtuous cycles and downward spirals. And what we really want to do is identify what are those things that are in our zone of genius. And it's only a couple things, one, two, three things, and just double down on that. And build your systems around that. Organize your office around how to just focus yourself on doing those things and get really good at saying no to everything else.
So what led you to create purpose mapping? Because there's lots of systems out there. There's different frameworks. And yeah, obviously, You kind of touched on that a little bit in the answer to the last question, but there must have been something that pulled you in that direction to say, you know, there's got to be a better way for me and others to be achieving and doing so in a way where the outcomes aren't, let's say, you know, not what we desired or empty to a certain degree.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, there's layers to it, right? Because this is part of my life's work. I was adopted at birth. And so the questions of, you know, who am I and why am I here have always sort of haunted me. And when I became a father in my mid-20s, you know, there was just this way that I couldn't just travel around and be a free spirit anymore. I mean, I wanted to and also have health insurance, right, for my kids. So, yep. So I was trying to figure out, how do I do this? You know, and the whole, like, you know, digital nomad, internet, you know, laptop millionaire, that wasn't a thing yet. You know, this is before all that. So I was trying to figure it out without any templates and, you know, 8-week courses and, you know, people with Instagram accounts making me jealous. Like, I was just kind of feeling into, how do I live an authentic life? And I got into, started my first business with a partner who was trained in Michael Gerber's E-Myth. You familiar with that?
Yeah, Michael's been on the show, actually. So, yeah, we've talked about it for sure.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, he's a genius, right? And so looking at the systems philosophy, and, you know, he of course talks about your primary aim and your strategic objective for your business to support your primary aim in life. And then Tony Robbins is talking about purpose and mission, and you got Stephen Covey and, you know, just all of these guys that I would go to the library and pull out stacks of, like, cassette tapes, you know, and drive around in my sales job and just listen to these all the time, trying to keep my mindset up. They were all talking about having a clear why. And they use different words to describe, you know, mission, purpose, primary aim, you know, your why, all these things. But I noticed that they were all pointing at this common idea, and that it was something that they all said was a non-negotiable. So that put it on my radar as something that was important, because I wanted to be successful. And so as I started looking into the who am I and why am I here, you know, I got into personality profiles. So the Myers-Briggs and the Colby and DISC and Enneagram and all these different things. And all of those kept pointing at an overlap, like a Venn diagram of, this was in the ballpark of my purpose. And I started saying, oh, that's really interesting. They're all pointing at a similar thing here. And then the signature strengths, right? They're all pointing at, these are the things that are going to put you in flow. And I just started putting these pieces of the puzzle together by doing this large survey of all this. You know, if you could see me on, I'm sitting in my office, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books, and I've probably listened to hundreds and hundreds of more over the decades. And when it all boils down to is this framework that I call purpose mapping, where you're looking at, you know, who am I and why am I here at the existential level? How do I get myself into flow so I can feel who I am and why am I here beyond a concept? It's not just like, you know, something I write down, a platitude, and I stick it on my desk and there it is, or on my coffee mug. It's a feeling. It's a real present living experience, right? It's coming fully alive. And then there's this strategic portion of, how am I actually going to do that on a regular basis? So this is where I make a distinction between purpose, the reason you exist, and mission, which is your strategy for living into that purpose, right? For activating your strengths and your zone of genius. And that's a 3 to 10 year big, hairy, audacious goal that you'll actually get to the top of this mountain, plant your flag, and say, I did that. When people confuse purpose and mission, they say, yeah, my purpose is to climb this mountain, whatever that is for you, right? To produce this album, write this book, you know, graduate from grad school, whatever that is. And they say, that's my purpose. Well, then they hit this existential tailspin as soon as they accomplish it, and it's a mess. And so we need to make that distinction, right? Your purpose is why you exist, and it's pretty permanent, right? Your understanding of it might evolve slightly, but it's like, once you get it, you pretty much have it. Your mission is something that it's strategic. You're like a company. You're constantly reviewing it. Like, are we on track? Do we need to tweak this quarter? And then when you accomplish it, it's like, boom, awesome. Okay, let's pick another big mission. And so you walk that down into a milestone and a clear next step. And then you have at the bottom of this are the daily practical, tactical practices, you know, for yourself, your body, your relations, and your systems. And that systems quadrant, that's where that contribution comes from, which brings it full circle back to the top, which is your purpose. And so that's why, I mean, why I created it is because I just wanted to be a peak performer. I just wanted to succeed. And everybody kept talking about these things. And so what purpose mapping is like, it's like the minimum viable framework for living your life successfully. And Mike, I'm sure you've got components of all of this. What I find is fascinating is when people get them all sort of lined up and see how they all relate to each other, it's like this chiropractic adjustment to the soul, as I call it. And the alignment that comes from that is extraordinary.
So how's it evolved? Because, I mean, you use it every day, and obviously it's any good system that has a framework. I mean, obviously it's got some fluidity within it to a certain degree. So over the years you've been using it, what would you say has been the biggest kind of evolution or the things you've noticed that have changed, if anything? Maybe it hasn't changed all that much as you've kind of not only used it for yourself, but also brought it to the fore for other people to use.
Yeah, that's a great question. So within the framework, you know, the nice thing about a framework is it gives you some structure that you can then play within, right? So it's kind of like, these are the boxes we got to fill in, but how you fill them in is a little fluid. And so I give everybody that goes through, and I still do this, you know, I don't do it every single day for, you know, 10 years, but it's like, you know, I'll do 2-3 months where I'm doing this every single day, and then I'll just get buried into a project. And, you know, that's my focus. So what I do every day is, I write it out. You know, my purpose is creating illuminating games, right? That's my sort of purpose statement with my strengths of, or my purpose, pardon me, is drawing forth light, which is what I do. I work with people and I kind of draw out what is within them that is most, you know, highest and best by creating illuminating games with generously centered service. And that's one thing that's evolved in the purpose mapping process is, you know, I always looked at the shadow, right, from a Jungian sense, this part of ourselves we hide, repress, and deny. And then about, I don't know, 3 years ago, when I really got serious about leading with purpose mapping, you know, for my coaching practice, I was building businesses and things before this. But when I made this my main focus, I really started looking at the model and I realized, you know, I got to get the gold out of the shadow. Right. In the Jungian sense, right? Joseph Campbell would say the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek. And so doing that, that added this layer of alchemy that is pretty astounding, right? Because we all have these parts of ourselves that we wish weren't there. And so we push them away. But when you realize that that's actually where the really good stuff is that you're looking for out in the world, that you contain it within you and you can touch that, that's a pretty extraordinary experience for people. So that's something that's added. And then I'll just write my vision, my mission, my milestone, and then what is my next step? What is the thing I got to do today? And as long as I do that on a daily basis, it keeps me focused and it keeps me growing. And those pieces will change because I'll do the next step and I'll accomplish the milestone, right? And I'll adjust the mission. And I'm constantly doing a 0 to 100 kind of rating on these things to just give myself a barometer. Like, how resonant does that feel? Does this need to change? You know, and so that's how the within the framework it stays very fluid and alive. But the framework itself is slowly changing, more like geological time, right? It does evolve over the decades, I've noticed as well.
So when it comes to frameworks, and especially when it comes to purpose mapping, there's going to be a barrier to entry, I think, for people because they're so used to doing things a certain way either. I mean, I notice this when people are working with me and working in time crafting is that there's something about like they've just got these old habits or this old way of thinking, this fixed mindset that it really is a tough nut to crack for them to say, oh, so I can, you know, in my case, I can theme my time. I didn't think I could, but I can. You know, what are some of the barriers to entry that you've noticed, or maybe there's one particular one when it comes to purpose mapping, and then, you know, a follow up to that, because obviously it's not a blockade to entry. It's a barrier. How do you help people get through that? Because that's a tough road to hoe for some people.
Yeah. Gosh, you know, I don't experience it. And I think the reason is because when people come to me, they're ready.
They're ready.
Mm-hmm. They're ready. Yeah. I use the hero's journey as my model. And, you know, there's always in the hero's journey, right? You start in the ordinary world, which for the people I work with is, you know, they're just kind of, I call it the golden hamster wheel, right? You got the car, the, you know, the career, the wife, the kids, the, you know, houses. And you're just sort of on this golden hamster wheel where you climb the ladder to success, but now it's not really going anywhere, right? It's just going around in circles. And then they hear the call. And then the next step in the hero's journey is the refusal of the call. Mm-hmm. And then they meet the mentor. And that's where I pick things up with them, right? And then we cross the threshold and we go. And it's like they've already had the refusal and the resistance and the barrier before they got to me, is what I experience. Yeah.
Okay. So how does one get started? Like, I mean, obviously they've gone through this, they've heard the call, you're there. what, you know, obviously you go to the website, which is linked to, we're going to have in the show notes, but, you know, as a bit of a spoiler alert, I guess, what happens when people jump in, when they're ready to test drive it? How does that work for them?
Right. So basically what we do is we start to examine the aspects of your psyche that are easy, right? We start with the way of being that feels the best. And then we look at your signature strengths. You know, what are the things you do that put you in flow? And that's easy and that's cool. And so that kind of gets people, you know, moving in the right direction. And then we look at what are the things you do that take you out of flow? And that's a little ouchier. And people tend to think of that as their shadow, you know, like, oh, I withdraw, or oh, I withhold, or, you know, whatever those things are, I procrastinate. But then now that we've, you know, we're looking at a quadrant here. And so we've got the upper left quadrant, your essence, your way of being that feels better, to the right of your strengths, down below, to the bottom right is your downfall. Then we've got this bottom left. We sort of painted your shadow into a corner because it's slippery, right? It's hard to pin down. But when we do, all of a sudden, there's this sense of psychological wholeness. And this is the first sort of phase of completion of like, oh, wow. You know, like that really pinched to admit, but now that like I've shared it and I've faced it myself, it's like you get that power back, right? All that energy you're using to push it away, you get that back. Plus you get the power that you were pushing away. And it's just social conditioning that creates this shadow. It's not like, you know, you go to other parts of the world and they wouldn't even think it was that bad. But, you know, we've been taught to think that, oh my God, I'm bad for having this. And so that's the first phase. And it's just that in and of itself is a revelation for people. It's just to see themselves in this map of psychological wholeness and just go, wow, okay, like I'm really okay. Then we go in and get the gold out. And that's where it gets like, wow, okay, now we're really getting into some deep stuff here. And then we connect that gold with your strengths. And that creates, you know, what you'll see on the website is this diagonal, this Z axis, which I call the axis of purpose, connecting the bottom left quadrant, the gold and the shadow, which is the liberated energy, attention, and power you need to fuel your strengths so that you can timescape, so that you can do, you know, these things that I'm in a rut, right? And I don't see a way out. When you liberate that gold, all of a sudden things become possible. It's like somebody just wrote you a check for $50,000 and you're like, whoa, there's some possibilities all of a sudden that I didn't feel a moment ago. And so we proceed from there.
And when people start to struggle with it, so let's say, and I mean, I'm sure there is some instances where people get stuck, you know, or at least they appear to be stuck. Have you found that does take place in certain particular areas, or does it happen? It's very subjective. And if so, how do you kind of help people through that? Because obviously, how does the process help people through that?
Yeah, I've experienced that a couple different ways. You know, one thing that I am very adamant about with all my clients is that I am not a stickler for when they finish the program. I had one of the first female bankers on Wall Street, and, you know, she was retired, but she was looking for a next career. I mean, she was only like 60, you know, she's barely at halftime. So she was looking for her next great adventure. And in the middle of the program, you know, right before we got to the deep, like let's actually go in and face your shadow, sort of face that dragon. She took off for like indefinitely, as far as I could tell. Like she like went to Greece, to the islands, like couldn't communicate. And I was just like, 3 months went by and I was like, well, I guess that's as far as we're going together. And then she comes back and I'm ready to go. Right. And boom. And she did amazing work. And I was like, huh. Maybe I just need to kind of let this go. And so, you know, there's that idea of Chronos, right? Like the watch on your wrist, and then Kairos, which is soul time. You know, you're familiar with this, right? Because we deal in both. And so I just let it, I put calendar blocks on, I put it on repeat and I say, okay, your slot is noon on Wednesdays. And I just set that to repeat. And then, you know, if they disappear, okay. But they always come back. And I find that time to incubate and experiment, explore, and just kind of let the work really settle in them is a necessary part of the process. And so it may feel to them like they're getting stuck, but to me, I've kind of at this point, I'm just like, yeah, you're okay. I'm here. You know, you'll come back, because they want to complete the process. There's this almost like in music. There's this structural tension. You know, dun 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 dun. Your brain wants to fleet, right? And so that's the way I've structured the entire process so that your mind wants to seek its own completion. And in the process, yeah, you face a couple things, but you feel empowered from that. And so there's nothing so scary that people don't recover.
And it's cyclical, I would imagine too, right? So for example, you know, I mean, there's going to be times where they need to revisit it in its entirety just to brush up on it or even just, you know, recalibrate, right?
That's right. Well, you know, it's funny. I had a lawyer. She was the top estate planning lawyer in Boulder. She ran her business for 6 years or 7 years. And for six of those years, she was the number one estate planning attorney in Boulder. So we built her business, her contribution system around her purpose. And she ran it and she succeeded in that mission. You know, she really nailed it. She bought the house on the lake overlooking the mountains and, you know, raised her two boys. And then all of a sudden that became the ordinary world. And she called me up and she said, Craig, I need to take another journey. Like this is, I'm starting to go nuts. 90% of what I do every day is making me crazy. And I said, great. And, you know, it was a hard year. I mean, she had to face a lot of stuff. She really had to dig deep. And she just signed her first client who's what you would call like a crypto anarchist, right? Mm. It's like a Bitcoin whale who wants to change the world and actually has the resources to do it, and came, found her, and she's going to protect his, you know, his estate so that he can do it in a way that is insulated from any governmental attacks, you know, whatever it's going to be. And it's just like, boom, this whole next level of her gift and her contribution is coming through. And she's realizing that, you know, she had to go in and face the parts of herself that were self-limiting and get the gold out. And now this whole next adventure is emerging. So yes, it's absolutely cyclical. And, you know, every time you complete a mission, every 3 to 10 years, you're going to want to do a deep revisiting, but through the process as well. You know, every time you hit a milestone or get to base camp, or just even every day, if you're really struggling, like sometimes I'm really struggling, like, how do I get through this? And I have to do those daily reflections on where am I going to find my flow today? What can I commit to that I can actually achieve to get that dopamine and move this project forward? And then I do, and I feel better. And next thing you know, I'm back in the clear and things are zooming again. So we do, we need to continually revisit it, you know, at the daily, weekly, sort of quarterly, annual, and, you know, every time we complete our mission level.
Well, we're going to revisit more in our bonus episode for members. It's three more things. So if you're a member, you'll be able to catch that. If you're not, you can head to productivityist.com/membership and learn more about how to get that content as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. But Craig, before we wrap up, why don't you let people know where they can find you and how they can learn more about purpose mapping?
Great. So I set up a special link for your listeners at purposemapping.com/productivityist.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll have that in the show notes too for those who are have difficulty spelling it, like I do from time to time.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
And they can also find you on Twitter too, right? You're at Craig Filek on Twitter as well, right?
At Craig Filek on Twitter and on Facebook at Purpose Mapping. And I think on LinkedIn, it's Craig Allen Filek, A-L-L-A-N Filek. So you can find me all over the place.
Craig, thanks for joining me today on the Productivityist Podcast.
Thanks so much, Mike.
There you have it. Craig Filek, great, great guest. I highly encourage you to check out Purpose Mapping. And of course, you can look at all the things we discussed in the show notes. I had a great conversation with him. I'm really, really keen on seeing where he goes with this and just learning more about it. And I hope you will too. That's it for this week's episode. Big thanks to John Polster for producing the show, as well as the bonus episode, which if you're a member, a patron, you're going to get access to. So you head to productivityist.com/membership to learn more about that, because there's a lot more there than just the bonus episode for this week. Thanks to my team for putting together the show notes, making the graphics and the artwork and all that stuff. And thanks to you for listening. I really do appreciate it. And I'll see you next time here on the Productivityist Podcast. Until then, remember to stop guessing and start going.